First, before I begin, I just want to pray for God's blessing on the service this morning, and that He would use the words I have to say. Lord God, I just pray for this morning. Lord, we've already been singing awesome hymns, and Lord, they're such an encouragement to me. I just thank You for the men and women who wrote those hymns, were impressed by You to write them, and Lord, that they're still a blessing even today, and just pray that You would be here this morning. Lord, I pray that You would speak to hearts this morning, encourage hearts. Lord, I pray that You would speak the words that I don't, and Lord, that just folks would be encouraged. I just thank You for the opportunity to be here this morning, be in Your house, fellow believers, especially on a day like today where we just take some time to remember, Lord, the freedoms that we have because of those who sacrificed. And Lord, just pray that You would take control of the service this morning. These things I pray. Amen. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd ask that you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1, read several verses here. It reads, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So just as an introduction, in the Christian life, I believe there is nothing more vital to the health of the walk of the Christian life than prayer. All throughout the life of Christ, He was in constant communication with His Father. The word pray, prayer, prayers, are repeated 174 times in the New Testament alone. Most of the occurrences are repeated in the Gospels, where they occur in 19 verses in Matthew, 16 verses in Mark, 30 verses in Luke, and 6 verses in John. I was kind of surprised that it only occurred six verses in John, but that's where most of the occurrences of prayers occur. But in those verses, you can see that the communion that Jesus Christ shared with God the Father. When Jesus was happy, He communed with God. When He was sad, He communicated with God. When He was overwhelmed or angry, He communicated with God. In whatever emotion, at whatever times, Christ communicated those things with His Father. In doing so, I believe that He left an example of how our life should be. So in looking in these verses in 1 Timothy, Paul lays out a little bit into the importance of prayer. So firstly, I want to look at the word supplication. In supplications, when life is at bleakest point, pray. The word supplication and prayer are used in conjunction with each other throughout the Bible to the point that supplication is rarely spoken of by itself. When I was looking it up in 1 Chronicles, when King Solomon is praying for the when he's dedicating over the temple to God, he says supplication and prayers over and over and over again. When the people are taken into captivity, and they pray to You and give supplications, will You hear them? Just hear them. When they're at their lowest point, just hear them. And they pray to You and just hear them and answer their prayers. Supplication simply means to pray earnestly. It's an urgent prayer with pressing solicitation. It is a cry for help when there is nowhere else to turn, when it seems all hope is lost and there is no way out. As I was looking at this, I got thinking of times in my own life when I was really down and out. Just recently, a few months ago, when Josiah was born, both Victoria and I were giving a lot of supplications up to God. I remember that afternoon rushing back to Red Deer and just not knowing how my wife was, how the baby was, and then find out that she was in labor and just 32 weeks early, and just, we were scared. We were really scared. Didn't know what to expect, first child. Then we went into the room, and all the doctors and nurses were extremely encouraging. They were there with us the entire time. Then they hooked up some monitors to Victoria just to monitor the heart rate and stuff. And the scariest time came when we could see the heart rate was a constant 136, 135. It's good. Then all of a sudden it went down to zero. And Victoria couldn't see the monitor. Doctors didn't tell her what was going on. But I tried really hard to hide the anxiety on my face. Then the doctors are just so good. I remember just standing there saying, oh, what's going to happen now? And just praying. And they hooked up the monitor inside to his head. And all of a sudden, heartbeat came back just as strong as ever. And it was like, oh, good. He's still with us. He's still good. And then all throughout the process, he was born healthy and just blew the doctors away on how quickly he grew, how fast he went through the processes of learning to eat and how fast he got out. And it was just amazing. And I really believe that it was prayers and supplications from Victoria and I, from our family, our church family. I know everybody here was praying. I know everybody at the Goli camp was praying. Her Victoria's siblings were out there and asked everybody to pray. And it was just, you really learn a lot about prayer when you're at the lowest point in your life. Another time I look back on, a turning point in my own personal life, was when I was 17 years old. Without going into detail, I thought I had lost everything that was important to me. My family grew apart, and I lost a lot of friends. And even, you know, thinking back now, I still remember everything as if it was yesterday. But I also remember the night when I just got overwhelmed and just prayed to God and just cried and yelled. Because I was just done. I was overwhelmed and I was finished. I was almost to the point where I'm just like, what's the point? God can't be real anymore. If all this stuff happens, there's no point. And it took a long time for God to repair that hurt in me, but he did. It took about 2 years, but man, now my faith is stronger than ever because I remember that time. I remember the low, but I remember coming out of it. There's a book that I purchased a long time ago, and it's called Fight On, and it's mostly a book about war heroes. Some of them died. Most of them were a one-man army. There's my dreaded fear, shark attacks. One story in here, I remember reading it, and I was just blown away. And it's just titled God, a Rock, and a Bear. So I just want to take some time and read it to you, if I may. Story goes, young Charlie Loxley came to California in 1849 seeking gold. That year, as he traveled to our town to retrieve his mail, he made a near-fatal pause beneath a giant pine overlooking a 1,000-foot drop to the Feather River. The scene before him was of breathtaking beauty, but that day there was something which desired to take young Charlie's breath away. As he drank in the beauty before him, he heard an unnatural noise behind him. He turned to investigate. Suddenly, a huge grizzly bear stepped out of the forest between him and the trail he had left. His only route of escape was cut off. Loxley stood there with no weapon and no escape. Death was certain as the huge animal moved toward him, snarling and snapping its teeth together. Knowing his death was certain, Loxley later said, "Alone, unarmed, I looked death in the face. I must meet it and meet it like a man. It was useless to bemoan my fate. It seemed like folly to resist. Better, far better for me to submit with fortitude and with Christian resignation, meet this wretched death, which could not be otherwise than brief, sharp, and decisive." As the fierce animal closed in for the kill, it rose to its hind legs and gave a mighty roar. Loxley, leaning his hand on a large stone outcropping for support, found his hand gripping a large stone which came loose in his hand. In desperation, he hurled it into the beast's mouth as it swiped him with its paw, slicing deeply into his side. Suddenly, the bear dropped to all fours and gagged. Loxley jumped on its back and straight up onto a tree branch that had previously been out of reach. From his perch, Loxley watched for horrified minutes as the beast thrashed, leaped, and gagged. Loxley was about 15 feet above the ground, and later said that at times the beast leaped higher than the limb he was perched on. Finally, as the animal thrashed about, it lost its balance and fell over the cliff. Charlie came down from the tree and continued his trip into town, telling those there of his near miss with death. Some scoffed at his tale, so they trailed out of town to the base of the cliff where they found the body of the bear. A quick inspection found the rock firmly lodged in the dead beast's throat. Loxley later equated his victory as being similar to David's victory over Goliath, guided by the same God. Fight on. He's quoted as also saying, "But if my memory serves me at all, it recounts a brief but sincere prayer, uttered before what seemed an impending death, and addressed to the only being who has ever responded to the cry of distress in moments of deadly peril." I went online because it's a short story and I wanted to see, if there was anything missing. So I found the story, and so I'm reading it, and it's, this author did a great job of condensing it into a page and a half. The actual account that Charlie Loxley speaks on is something like 4 or 5 pages long, and it's actually quite elegant. You can definitely tell the difference that the way that they talked was drastically different. They can make a paragraph after out of what we can say in a sentence, but he told that story to his, if a memory serves me correctly, it was either his sons or his grandsons. And that story, it'll always be in my head. Just I love animals. I got a fear of animals, though. My worst nightmare is swimming and getting attacked by a shark. But just hearing a story like that, and just, what are the chances? With nowhere else to go, just backs up, finds a rock, throws it, and it just saves him. It's just an amazing story. And that is supplication. Next thing that Paul exhorts us to do is prayers. At first, I thought, I would just combine supplication and prayers, because prayers is pretty, broad, and prayers is praying and just talk to God. But I got thinking about it more and rewrote it, because prayer is our portal to heaven's throne. In Hebrews, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, we may find help in time of need." There's not much more that God loves to hear than the prayers of his saints. I remember reading in Revelations another thing that really blew me away. If you have your Bibles, if you can turn to Revelation chapter 5. It gives a little bit of a description of how much God values our prayers. And in verse 8, he said, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." And then in chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, kind of gives a description of what happens with those vials. It says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands." To think that our prayers, every word, God just bottles up. He doesn't only hear, he doesn't only respond. He keeps it. He preserves it. And I don't know what instances it happens in, but I can just imagine that there's times in heaven where the angels just offer up an incense of our prayers to God, and God just thank you for praying. You know, it's kind of like been told in the past that, you know, to not pray is kind of like a husband and wife not talking to each other. You can't have much of a relationship with somebody if you never talk to them. To the point that not only is praying a privilege, but God loves it and values it so much, he keeps it and he preserves them. Next point that Paul talks about is intercession, which is praying on someone else's behalf. And Paul speaks on intercession in this passage of Scripture a few times. In verse 2, he says that he exhorts believers to make intercession, supplications, prayers, and giving of thanks for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And then in verse 5, he says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." A mediator is someone that makes intercession on someone's behalf. Just as Christ makes it mediation or intercession for us, we are exhorted to do the same for others. And not only for others, but even for ourselves. If you can turn with me to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, Paul writes, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." It is according to, or part of, the will of God to make intercession for us. It's something that he does on a day-to-day basis. The Spirit communicates with the Father, making intercession for us. Paul himself received intercession when he was still called Saul in Acts chapter 9. When Ananias prayed on Saul's behalf after Saul was walking the road, and Jesus Christ met him on the road, and he became blind. And Christ said, "Go to Ananias, and he will pray for you." And when Paul went there, Paul didn't go, he would have remained blind. He went, Ananias prayed for on his behalf, made intercession for Saul, that he would receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Ladies also in the book club are reading the book, The Power of the Praying Wife, which also teaches intercession. It is a powerful prayer that we as Christians can pray for someone else, that God would hear us and hearken to our petition to act on that particular someone's behalf. We are to intercede for all, those we know and those we don't know. We are to pray for our leaders of the country. Trudeau and Notley and premiers in other provinces. They all need our prayers. There's times that I don't know why they do what they do. But you know what? God set them up. God set them there. And God has a reason for them being in power the way that he at this time. A preacher once said, "You do not pray to make up God's mind. You pray to make up your mind." Every time a prayer is answered, faith grows. God already knows the results, but if we don't ask, don't intercede, we miss out on the opportunity to take part in God's working. One of my heroes in the past is George Mueller. That man, I read stories and stories of him and running his orphanage in England. There's times when it was a counter that all the boys would gather downstairs or gather at the dinner table for breakfast. And George Mueller was standing at the head of the table. And nothing would be on the table, just plates. And he would say, "Let's see what the Lord will do." And he'd pray. I remember this one account. After standing there for several minutes, there was a knock at the door. So, go to the door, see who it is. It's a local baker. And he said, I don't really know why, but I just felt really impressed to bake this bread for you guys this morning and bring it over to you." And he'd bring it over, and they were fed another day. Just an amazing man. Lived in the 1800s. But he said this quote, "I believe God has heard my prayers. He will make it manifest in his own good time that he has heard me. I have recorded my petitions that when God has answered them, his name will be glorified." And I hope that quote never goes out of my head. I was really, really blessed when I read that quote. The next thing that Paul exhorts us to do as believers is giving of thanks, and praying and thanksgiving. In the passage, Paul exhorts believers, in addition to prayer, to also give thanks. Giving of thanks goes hand in hand with prayer. If you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. We read two verses, verses 15 and 16. He says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And also in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Just as important as prayer is to God, thanksgiving is very, very important. Even in times when it's the hardest. I personally don't like winter. I need to work outside in it, and it's cold, and in the blizzard, it's not very fun to work in. But one thing that I like about winter is there's no bugs, because I hate bees, and so every year, it's snowing, but there's no bees. And last month we celebrated Thanksgiving Day, which for most is a day to visit relatives, maybe eat turkey and stuffing, and gain 20 pounds. Throughout history, days are set aside in the year as days of Thanksgiving. Today we remember the sacrifice of war veterans and casualties of war and offer thanks for them and for the freedom we have as a nation. I really appreciate Margie asking prayer during a praise and prayer request for our veterans. I don't know a lot of people my age who truly, truly are thankful for that. Because I don't know what war is like. I've never had a family member go off to war. All my family were farmers in Saskatchewan, even during World War I and World War II. So I don't truly, truly know the personal feeling of sacrifice in war. But I'm really, really thankful for it. I'm really, really thankful. Every year I take the time, go to the memorial service, and just, I don't know any of those people. You know, I'm new to the area, fairly new to the area. I don't know any of the names, but man, am I ever thankful that they went and they sacrificed. As I was thinking about this, I actually have something to be really, really thankful for just this past week. At my job, we are supposed to wear safety glasses all the time while on site. We do a lot of work for Eagle, and one of their few rules is hard hats, safety vests, and safety glasses. So the company that I work for, it is mandatory we wear hard hats. It is mandatory we wear safety vests. Safety glasses? I mean, if you're cutting wood or cutting rebar, you know, make sure you wear your safety glasses. Other than that, I mean, you should, but we won't kick you off site if you don't. This past Wednesday, upon arriving on site, I decided to not put on my safety glasses when I got there. I began working at bracing up a form by using a sledgehammer to pound steel pins into the packed ground. I cut all the braces I needed and lay them out all along the form with the pins at various points. While laying them out, the thought occurred to me that the sun was quite bright and that I should try my new blue tinted sun safety glasses, so I put them on. I had just purchased them last weekend and it was very bright, so I wanted to see what it was like. Being at this particular site for the first time, I was unaware of what was underground. Assuming nothing, I started putting the first pin into the ground. About 6 inches in, all of a sudden there was a boom, and I recoiled back with dirt spraying in my face at very high pressure. When I opened my eyes, I saw a fountain of dirt spraying upwards, which my first thoughts were like, oh no, I burst a water line, and it's just going to flow, and oh my gosh. But thankfully, it only lasted about 5 seconds. My foreman came running over to see if I was okay and to see what had happened, because he heard the boom. And we discovered that there was a water, air pressurized water line 6 inches down. I'm not a plumber, so I don't know how high pressure they test the water lines at when they're underground. But I know it has to be above 50-60 PSI, but it's a lot of pressure. I also know this, that it was literally 5 minutes before I thought I should put on my safety glasses. I don't know what would have happened if I didn't put on my safety glasses and that water line exploded. I may be in surgery. I don't know. I know one thing. My eyes would have been damaged. And just something so, you know, unseemly. The sun is bright. I'll put on my safety glasses. Save me from a lot of hurt. And so I learned the lesson. Wear safety glasses. So in conclusion, I just want to say this, that prayer is very vital, not just because it is our communication line with God, but also because he wants to hear us, he wants to commune with us. There are many reasons to pray and no excuses not to pray. Let us pray without ceasing for all people. So I just exhort everybody here as a church body. No, let's be a praying church. Let's pray for each other. I haven't seen many churches where they have a prayer and praise in the middle of their worship service. That was one of the first things that hit me the first time I walked into here. It was a prayer and praise section of the service. It blew me away. And then to actually see people write down the requests. And then to experience it personally in my life in June with Josiah, that I know you guys were praying. I know you were. At this time, I think of, I don't know the circumstances around Samson and Irene. Man, there's not a day that goes by that Victoria and I don't think of them. Pray for them. So, just pray that this was a blessing to you and an encouragement. And as I work on my prayer life, prayer has been on my mind over the last few weeks. And as I work on it, I ask that you work on it with me. And let's be in praying church, praying people. Oh, yeah, Pastor.